The Volume.
Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can watch the NFL playoffs like a fan, or you can prep like a scout if you listen to the award-winning Move the Sticks podcast. The show is hosted by me, Daniel Jeremiah, and my partner, Bucky Brooks. The two of us are bringing the knowledge from a career as NFL talent scouts to the podcast world so fans can watch and understand the nuances of the game like never before. We'll break down film from the professional and college game to get you ready for the Super Bowl, the draft, and kickoff next fall. Subscribe now and listen to the Move the Sticks podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Mama, what does the chicken say? Dog. Cat. Giraffe.
Giraffe, really?
Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Jenkins and Jones is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. I like betting on FanDuel Sportsbook because they have great odds and markets for the NBA, NHL, college basketball, and so much more. They've got awesome new and existing user promotions, and it's America's number one sportsbook. It's also easy to use, it's safe and secure, and you can get your winnings fast in as little as 2 hours. Also, it's fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same game parlay, and you can discover the most popular same-game parlays each day right when you log in. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code JNJ so they know I sent you. That's J&J. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Louisiana, in permitted parishes only, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Gambling problem, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Wednesday, February 16th, and we got a lot of awesome things to talk about today. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good and awake friends, Jethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
Just woke up 5 minutes ago. What's that, Bubba's?
Dragonfly Jones, aka Tyler.
Hey everybody, how we going? How we doing?
I'm Guardy B, aka Mike.
Hey, I want to shout out my homegirl, Paris from Arch State. You know, she does a lot of good things for the kids. I got her hat on today, so check her out, man. St. Louis.
I've got my homie Dante. I'm wearing his hoodie. I mean? Talking
Showing
with
Tay. Love for the family,
you know,
today.
He freelances with us at the 562. So, and Tyler, what minor league baseball team are you wearing a hat from today, Tyler?
Oh, this is the motherfucking the Trenton Thunder and shit.
I love that.
I have no idea who they are. Just
that's
like
all that matters. It's like cute. That.
I have no connection to these motherfuckers like y'all do.
Yeah. My little cousin owns the Trenton Thunder.
Quick flex.
Yeah, quick flex. Okay, let's talk about, first of all, I want to talk about the Braun commercial that aired during the Super Bowl. Did both you guys see that? Of him talking to a younger yes. version of him? What did you think of the commercial? And what do you think he was saying to young Braun off camera?
I thought it was an amazing premise, and then when I saw the end, the payoff, and it was for, like, crypto, I was like, oh, what the fuck? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I thought it was a beautiful, touching moment of, you know, a supremely accomplished older man looking back at the younger him who had the whole world in front of him and was, you know, eager to take it on, but a bit nervous about if he would be successful. And then you're going to throw this fucking, this Ponzi scheme ass currency in at the end. I was like, oh, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? That's kind of where I was at. Like, you know, I thought it was a great premise, but the landing did not stick, man.
I thought it was beautiful until the end. The end didn't really move me like that. And why did we ever say crunk? Like, the term crunk, when he said it, I'm like, lame ass nigga. But you know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, we used to say that. You feel me? I was like, that wasn't the word. That wasn't it back then. But even though it was at that point, but
you're so right about the crypto thing, because they had the Larry David commercial that was the same. That, like, I loved the whole commercial, and then and then it turned out it was for crypto, and I, like, audibly, I was like, oh, like, yeah. Fuck, come on, bro, Larry David's trying to sell us crypto right now. What would you say to your younger self if you could go back and talk to yourself as a fucking high school? He's 17 in the commercial, yeah, when he goes back and talks to himself or some shit? Funny answer or serious answer? It's too early to box you in.
I would say it's going to be okay. I would just say, bro, just do you. It's going to be okay. There will be times when you feel like it's not, you know what I mean? You'll be very confused, but you'll be all right. Just follow your heart, G. And that's some really corny ass shit to say, but that's actually what the fuck I did. You know what I mean? So, and shit has turned out good so far. I'm going to just continue to do that. But yeah, that's what I would tell him. That's what I would tell my shorty. Like, you going to be all right, my G. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say something along those lines too. I'd probably tell younger me, just enjoy every moment, because I feel like, you know, so many times when I was younger, I was just looking forward to what was next. You know what I mean? I was like, this is like the worst time of my life. I can't wait till I bada bada bada, right? I was fucking 24 scrambling, making, you know, $25,000 a year. I was like, God, I can't wait till I make more money. And thank God I did make more money. But I look back on those years like, that was fun as fuck. You know what I'm saying? Being broke as hell, just being the homies, you know, scrambling together and eating hot dogs and talking shit and all that. You know what I'm saying? And I look back on those years fondly, even though I fucking hated them while I was there.
I think I liked my 20s, G. I liked my teens too, but there were just moments where just felt like, what the fuck? I have no idea what I'm doing. There was many moments, you know what I mean, like that? Where, like, you being country, like, I didn't have access to a lot of stuff. You feel me? Like, I would love to be in St. Louis right now, but I literally cannot be in St. Louis doing what I'm doing. You know what I mean? So, shaking St. Louis, like, I cried like I never cried before, bro. I was, like, 34, too. Like, I'm crying till I'm in the car because I'm leaving everybody I love. You feel what I'm saying? I'm like, it's a real cry. You feel me? Like, and I'm like, I hope this works out for something, because I'm literally leaving my whole life behind me. You know what I mean? And it worked out, and thank God. You know what I'm saying? But, bro, like, it was all these things were scary. You know what I mean? Up until, like, 30, probably, like, 3-4 years ago, things just, I didn't know what was going to happen in my life. You feel me? So, I think, like, just, yo, it'll be all right. Take your time. All of that. You know what I mean? Like,
I think that's interesting. That's more or less exactly what I tell myself. I was so worried when I was a teenager about everything. You know what I mean? About not making it, about not having the life that I want, about not being able to write for a living, about not finding a woman who is going to be okay with me being broke as fuck because that was the job I want. You know what I mean? Like, all this shit. And like you said, it's just, you look back and it's like, it worked out. I was stressing at 17 about asking out the woman I'm currently married to. I was stressed
because
she
was asking out the woman you're going to marry. Like, we were asking out.
But she said she had already said no.
But we were, me and Tyler were talking to women that we probably was going to break up with in 3 months. You know what I mean? You were trying. This is the woman you're going to marry. You should have been nervous, my boy. That's a big deal.
I think what's interesting is, I feel like 20 years from now, we'll probably have a similar perspective on the way our mentality is now. I'm like, oh, you were worried about some shit you didn't need to be worried about, or you know what I mean? But even though we have that perspective now on 20 years ago, we can't like picture what that's going to look like when we're fucking 55 or whatever. You know what I mean?
I think the thing too is, I was super broke, G. You know what I mean? For like, even in my early 30s, like I'm hustling still. You know what I mean? For a minute. And then I realized, like, after not being broke, at least, it's like, you know, I had a lot of richness in my life that I didn't realize. You know what I mean? I had to leave for career purposes, but there's a bunch of things I miss that I didn't truly take advantage of because I was so caught up in what I needed to do, how to like make something of myself in my career. You know what I mean? So.
Handshake emoji. I feel like I did take I feel like I was aware of it at the time, but just especially because Shar and I knew we wanted to have kids, it was, as you guys know, a very big thing that my kids would not have to go through some of the things that I went through and not have some of the like self-esteem issues and hang-ups around money that I had just because of those things.
That's,
you know,
a big
what I mean?
Deal too.
So that always,
that's hard to shake, G. That's hard to shake.
You can't shake. I mean, I still haven't shaken it, and we've been comfortable for a couple years, you know?
I feel you.
All right, let's talk about, unfortunately, none of us can be fans of Snoop Dogg anymore after seeing that he smoked weed before.
Are they trolling? Is it April?
Like, I couldn't figure it out, bro, but it was like the least newsworthy thing I've ever seen in a headline from a real publication.
Shout out to Cowherd. First time we ever said that on the pod. Shout out to Cowherd. Shout out to Boss,
bro,
man.
So
talking about,
I might
smoke before I hop on a day, motherfucker. What you talking about? It's California. He never misses an opportunity. And I don't think he even smokes. I think he just doesn't miss an opportunity to tell motherfuckers, where I'm at is where you should be at, but you ain't at. He just love the stunt.
I'm mad at it.
Do you think they were trolling? I think anything that has Colin Cowherd making fun of you cannot be considered a troll, bro.
I don't think they funny enough to troll like that. I think they're not funny enough to not be serious in that situation, and that is the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. I was like, Snoop Dogg doing what Snoop Dogg has done ever since we knew Snoop Dogg existed before going on the Super Bowl because he's Snoop Dogg. You know what I mean? Like,
more people probably associate Snoop Dogg with weed than associate him with rap.
At this point,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, there are probably people who...
He's the black Willie Nelson for the most part, pretty much. Like, you think of weed first and foremost, then you think of his music. But I don't know what people can think they can be accomplished with that. You think you're going to cancel Snoop? Like, do you not know he's the most bulletproof motherfucker on the planet? Like, bro, he was hosting the Puppy Bowl earlier that day. Like, that man is untouchable. Nothing you say is going to bring that man down, bro.
He smoked a little weed before the Puppy Bowl as well, my boy. You know what I mean? Like, that's what he does, G. Crazy.
I don't think you want to talk about talking to yourself as a teenager. I would love to see a commercial of Snoop Dogg trying to explain to 17-year-old him that everyone is going to know everything he's doing when he was 17,
bro.
And old white America, bro, is still going to love it. Everyone's going
to
love
it. He was the most dangerous young black man to white America in 1993, 1994, bro. And to see what he's become now, like, none of us saw this shit coming.
Murder Case become to host the Puppy Bowl? Like, you know what I mean? Seawalking, throwing up Crip. I ain't gonna be tripping.
On the Super Bowl.
Like, let me not. Seawalking, throwing up Crip. at the Super Bowl, and he had on Rams colors, but that's also a particular set of Crips, the blue and yellow. You know what I'm saying? Those weren't Rams colors, my G. You feel what I'm saying? So, like, dog, yeah, come on, G. Like,
when I was a kid in Long Beach, you were not allowed to, like, people in Long Beach were, like, outside of the black community, people, like, didn't want to associate Snoop Dogg with Long Beach. It was, like, a dirty secret. And
that's wild.
And now the athletic director at Long Beach State tweets at him after every game, like, we've got floor tickets for you for a Long Beach State basketball game. Like, the mayor's talking about loving watching him C-walk at the Super Bowl.
Teach me those cool moves, Mr. Dog.
I'm glad I've been around for the 30-year ride. But yeah, it's exactly what Tyler said, man. Like, you have to appreciate this man. We will never see another dude like this ever in our lifetimes.
I get it. Like, the doggy style cover is crazy. You know what I mean? But, like, my mom was like,
I'm hiding Snoop Dogg albums, bro.
You feel me? My mom see that shit. She tossing at you. Like, what you doing? You can't bring it to the crib, G. You feel me? And then she hits me up today talking about not today, but during the Super Bowl. You see the Super Bowl show? Best show ever. That's y'all's music, but I know I was up dancing. I'm like, you used to whoop my ass over that music. You know what I mean? Right? Now you up dancing. You know what I mean? I wish I could show my mom my future back in the day when she would whoop my ass. You feel me? Go the opposite way. You was going to be up dancing. Whoop your own ass, mama. Whoop your own ass. Put yourself, mama.
Jeez.
God damn. She might listen to this, Tyler. She's going to be on my head. she might listen to this. She love y'all. Go ahead.
That makes me very happy. Honestly, I feel like there's no compliment that actually gets into my heart other than one we'll talk about later with babies. Like, someone telling you that their mom appreciates
you. She love y'all.
That's my mom, too, as you guys know. My mom would just text me out of nowhere. She texted me after the All-Star thing. She texted me 2 days later. She said, they were whooping your ass about the All-Star game.
She know it came from love, too, though.
She does know that because she's seen that before.
Is she a real one?
Tyler, what'd you think of the halftime show, man? It's kind of hard to imagine. I feel like rap has been the dominant genre of music in America for like two solid decades at this point. It's kind of hard to imagine that was the first rap show we actually got at the Super Bowl.
Yeah. You know, making a segue from what we were just talking about, you know, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great show, phenomenal fucking show. But there was a part of it that was surreal and maybe a bit bittersweet because I was like, I remember when this music was dangerous, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like we were talking about, you know, John was just talking about how we had to hide our albums from our parents. You know what I'm saying? How Snoop was the most fucking dangerous, feared young black man in America in the early 90s.
To the people, to our parents, you feel me?
Yeah. That was a devil.
He was a devil like a mom.
Yeah. And it's just you know, while I enjoyed seeing how far rap has come, there's a part of me that is kind of, I guess, sad that rap will never be dangerous again. You know what I mean? Because that was the thrill of the shit as a kid, man. Just knowing that you were in on something that, you know, the older people and white America hated and was railing against, and knowing that, you know, that was your thing. You know what I'm saying? You and your homies fucking making copies of tapes and passing them around to each other like a fucking underground society. And you know what I'm saying? And you're guarding that shit with your life to keep your parents from catching you with it. That shit was exhilarating. But, you know, I'm old now. Shit doesn't need to be dangerous anymore. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a risky, dangerous dude anymore either. So, you know, it's like I said, it was, I enjoy seeing how far rap has came. But like I said, it was a bit bittersweet knowing that shit will never be as dangerous as
it was. Specifically, too, for it to be Dre, Snoop, even right. Eminem. It was specifically the dudes that it was like, you 50. Couldn't, you, no one could, like, if any adult found out you were listening to any album by any of those people, you know, and I think there's a... I'm not a things used to be better guy, as you guys know. Like, I think almost everything is better than it used to be in this country and around the world, etc. But I do think that kids miss something by music not being a physical object anymore. Like, there was something to that. I stole this because my mom wouldn't buy it for me, or I tricked someone into buying this, or I went, you know, and I held my. I held my thumb over the parental advisory sticker and the old person at the music store. But, like, do you know what I mean? Like, now, I mean, Vincent could on his fucking – Vincent can listen to any music he wants. Like, parents don't even have an idea of trying to hide certain kinds of music or whatever from their kids. And to us, that really was, like, I found something. Like, I have this thing that is, like, a special secret – you know, forbidden object or whatever. And for them, it's just, you know, it's the, what's the phrase? The whole world at your door, right? Like, it's everything you want all the time. And I do think, I just think it's different. And I see that in my own kids. Like, it's just a different thing to have everything available whenever you
One
want
thing
it.
I fucked know. Up is rap is still dangerous. People making this amount of money. Corporations are benefiting off it. But it's still dangerous to the people that are in, that are rappers. You know what I mean? Particularly the younger ones. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's a hazardous job, but it doesn't scare white America
up.
Like it used to.
We're like, you know what I'm saying? Right. What?
Yeah.
All of the danger is now to the young black people
you
making
feel me?
The music.
That's kind of fucked up to me. But also, like, have y'all I wonder when white people are going, like, lose the shackles of lose yourself. Have you listened to the lyrics? The actual lyrics. Free yourself. Bro, the lyrics are stupid. The man throws up spaghetti on his hoodie. Go home. Once that happens, you just go home. Change your fucking hoodie, dog. You ain't built.
Spaghetti's one of the worst foods you could throw up, too. You know what I mean? Because spaghetti.
That shit's coming out the same way it went in, bro.
Like, it looks like it's laying across your whole septum. Like it's laying from your throat out your nose.
Gee,
you know what I mean?
Like, if that didn't lose yourself in the moment. No, I'm like, bro, mom spaghetti. You do what? First of all, why mom spaghetti that weak? To throw that, your mama can't cook even spaghetti that bad. You know what I'm saying? But if you that nervous and you throwing that up on your hoodie, bro, dog, it's you don't throw up spaghetti on your hoodie and keep doing what you're doing. That's weirdo stuff. Anyway.
You know, Eminem opened a restaurant in Detroit called Mom's Spaghetti, which is fucking gross. If you think about how it's a fucking
vomit
you know
talked saying, about in
a reference
yourself.
To puke.
I want spaghetti good though. It does make me wonder.
He did a pop up in L.A. He did a Mom's Spaghetti pop up in L.A. before
you
the
get
Super
you a
Bowl
plate
as part of the run up to it. Did I drive to the city of Los Angeles to wait in line for pasta?
For vomit pasta?
Truck? I did not. I did vomit
pasta.
Tyler, speaking of lose yourself, tweeted that it's like the fucking punters and the kickers were going crazy.
Were they?
And literally, the fucking Bengals kicker came out of the locker room and there was a picture of him watching Eminem.
I bet he was like this too.
Listen, they are never letting lose yourself go, bro. That is younger white America's don't stop believing. They're not letting that go, bro.
I actually was upset that he did lose yourself because given the theme of the rest of the show and who was there, Till I Collapse has similarly a very strong hold on like middle white America, but has Nate Dogg in it. And so I thought I thought that's what they were going to do, but the pull of lose yourself
too
is too strong,
G. Too strong, man.
Too strong.
The whirlpool from which no ship shall escape.
I heard a dude driving by Target the next day playing Eminem. I'm like, don't, G.
It got into him.
They might have started something back up.
Right. He's back in business.
You know, he had a Honda all souped up. You know what I mean? That's the exact dude that would play Eminem while driving. So.
All right, it's All-Star Weekend. John, scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you to be traveling to the city of Cleveland, Ohio?
I mean, negative 8? Cleveland? Bro. What am I doing in Cleveland? You know what I'm saying? I'm in and out, bro. Mask on, ain't talking to nobody. Doing my gig. Pew! Bro.
What are you guys most excited, other than the culture in Cleveland for John, what are you guys most excited for, you know, this weekend? What are you, I know you guys know I'm excited for the Skills Challenge. What are you excited for All-Star Weekend? You still have anything left in your heart for the dunk contest? I love the Elam ending that they've done with the game. I have to say I've enjoyed the game since they put the Elam ending.
Elam ending,
you know,
okay,
they have the target score.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. But what are you guys looking forward to? What's the part of the weekend that you're most excited for?
I got a feeling that Ja Morant is going to show the fuck out. I think he's going to be the MVP.
That's what I'm looking forward to. I think that he knows this is his – this whole season has been an I'm here moment for Ja, right? And I think he's going to take the All-Star game in the same vein. I think he's going to ball the fuck out. I think he's winning MVP.
He's going to be the dude that everyone's looking at like, oh, you're really playing.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Fourth quarter is fun. But that's about the only thing I trip off on All-Star weekend, G. This shit basically the Pro Bowl to me now, bro. You know what I mean? Like, this is a week where I don't have to work as much because there's not as much basketball going on. That's what it is for me. It's a little vacation.
You put it out there.
I mean,
the Pro
I'm exaggerating. You know what I'm saying?
I haven't watched the Pro Bowl.
But I mean,
like,
as far as like, I don't.
You know
yeah, the Pro Bowl. Yeah, but I mean, like, I don't necessarily need to watch the All Star game. You know what I'm saying? I'll turn it on. You know, I don't even know the Pro Bowl when that airs. I don't even be knowing what time it's on. You know what I'm saying? But
I'm kind of on the other end of the spectrum here. I would never miss an All Star game, bro. I think showboating basketball is fucking super entertaining, bro. Like the fucking alley-oop bounce that Steph threw to Giannis a few years back, like shit like that. Like, bro, sign me up for that all the time.
I don't care. I mean, I don't know why. I'm not anti-showboating. It just don't matter to me. Well, you know what I mean?
I think the thing about basketball that's so much better than any other sport to me is that there are so many ways that it can be played. And it is one of the few sports, like, if you really love football, you don't necessarily love the idea of writing about and watching high school, junior college, NCAA, and NFL football, right? The NFL is the perfect, it's the perfection of football, et cetera, et cetera. Basketball, to me, on one end of the spectrum is the All-Star game, and on the other end of the spectrum is the NBA playoffs, and I love both of those styles. Like, I love freewheeling, let's just have fucking fun and enjoy the fact, let's celebrate the fact that we have aliens, physical gifts, that we could do shit that physically doesn't make any sense to almost every human being that's ever lived, and I love locked in, diving on the floor, going crazy fucking playoff basketball. My problem with the NBA is not the All-Star game, it's the fact that it's the regular season where if you know basketball, you know these dudes are not playing most games super locked in, whatever, but they're also not having fun. You know what I mean? So that's what we talked about, that in-season tournament, which Adam Silver is probably going to be pitching a lot over the next 5 days, I would guess. But like, that to me is what's exciting about that, is put some stakes out there, put some money on the table that has dudes playing, you know, early in the season, like, oh, okay, this is something that really matters to me. But I think that might be kind of why we've talked about, it seems like a lot of these dudes are miserable, bro.
What?
Like, I mean, like the NBA, you've never heard so many stories about so-and-so is grumpy, so-and-so doesn't like the fucking situation they're in on the team that they built.
Bro.
You know what I mean? It's too many games.
Did you see, like, where Harden was rolling his eyes? I don't know if somebody reported that Harden was rolling his eyes when Nash was drawing up plays for KD. Could you imagine having that much confidence in yourself? I mean, when the best player in the world is getting the play drawn up for him, and you're like, oh, this guy again. This guy is Kevin Durant. The Kevin Durant, maybe the best scorer we've ever seen, one of the best scorers in the world, that's ever put their feet on the world, touch the basketball. Rolling your eyes? That's so weird. And to hear that he wasn't happy too, you know what I mean? It's just, I'm like, bro,
we're in the surly era of the NBA right
surly.
Now.
Surly.
You know what I mean? It's weird. The league is surly as fuck, bro. It's churlish.
Yeah. I mean, we saw that fucking subliminal Harden threw at Kyrie. Like, I'm just happy to be here where everyone is willing to do whatever it takes
except
to
for
win.
You when you it's time to win, Harden. Shut up, please. Oh my God. You're great games
my
one
favorite
through four.
Was,
you know what I mean?
My favorite, because they had a tough game out of the gate, obviously, yeah. But there's a clip of Embiid trying to cross someone over and then badly missing a three-pointer, and someone just tweeted it and said, one practice with James Harden later.
Bro, come on, man. Crazy. But going back to All-Star, I won't say I just don't care. It's just that there's other things that I care about more. Because when I went to Chicago, and that was a great All-Star game. It was a great slam dunk contest too. The 3-point contest wasn't bad either. I couldn't wait to leave and just go be with my buddies. You know what I mean? So like, it was like, I'm here, but I was more thinking like, yeah, can we get this over with? So I don't think it's bad. I thought that was a good product. There's just other things that I'd rather be doing.
Including, let's.
Bro,
I'm gonna tell y'all my flight schedule when we get off here, so you know exactly what time it is with me.
Let's talk about the Bucks beat the Pacers last night. Giannis had 50. I continue to think that the Bucks, even though they're the defending champions, are the team. Like, I feel like everyone should think these dudes are winning the championship, and I don't feel like people do. But what I really wanted to talk about was Giannis continuing to appease bag Twitter. He had such a nice move. Jason Maples tweeted the clip and said, "Hezzy tween Twitter, are you not entertained?"
Bro, he hit someone with the double tap crossover step back fadeaway for a bucket. You know what I'm saying? He had 50 on, 17 of 21 shooting?
It was the fourth fewest shots ever needed to get to 50 points.
That's KD type shit, bro. Come on, man. Hey, like, you know, the Bucks were my pick to win it all at the top of the season. They're still my pick to win it all this season. You know, we've seen how fucking there's a log jam in the East where everyone's separated by like two games and shit. And you know what I'm saying? It's about five or six teams there that are going to be a tough out. But yeah, I still think the Bucks are coming out.
Sure. When I saw them live a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, this is a basketball team full of hoopers. Like, they hoop, but also like they play basketball real smart. You know what I mean? Like, I was extremely impressed with them. So I wouldn't be surprised. And I mean, like, as crazy as it was, like, I knew Giannis was Giannis. He had like 30 something that night. You know what I'm saying? But seeing Middleton play and how controlled he is, I'm like, bro, your game is beautiful in person. You really know how to you find your spots, play within yourself, all of that. They got dudes that know what they need to be doing, and they do that shit. That, you know what I'm saying? They got a team, G. So that I'm not surprised. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be surprised if they won.
I think that's the difference to me with them, is that everyone knows what their job is, and they've accepted it and they're settled into it. And I also think with Giannis, what was your experience seeing him? I've heard Giannis is in the Braun Mount Rushmore of guys that when you see in person, you're like, oh, this guy evolved from a different branch of the family tree than look at, like, where did this guy come
Braun
from?
Braun came with the fact that he's Braun. Like, I love Giannis. But I mean, Bron to me is just like a tier above the highest tier. You know what I mean? Seeing Giannis and some of the moves he did at his size, like saying he has no bag, that's, bro, like, I couldn't even compute how that is done by somebody that big. You know what I mean? And you know how people are bigger when the players are always bigger when you see him in person? He is bigger. Yes. Like, right. You know what I mean? It's like,
no, that's what I've heard. I've heard that when you look at him, it looks like a
right. You know what I'm
effect.
Saying? Like, that don't.
You know what I mean?
I can't understand it. My brain will allow me to go there to make that, for this to make sense. You know what I'm saying? So, but dog, yeah. I mean, he obviously special. And I'll say this: I think KD's the best player in the world. You know what I'm saying? But I think when Giannis is doing what Giannis is doing, he's up there with KD, and it seems like it feels more dominant. You know what I mean?
It's because he's fucking buff, bro. Right?
Yeah, it's like I think the best build, the best body comparison you can make to Giannis is. I think the best build, the best body comparison you can make to Giannis is David Robinson. And imagine David Robinson doing the shit that Giannis does. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's some shit that you just can't wrap your head around. And Giannis is just as good of a defender, maybe even better a defender than David Robinson, because David Robinson's gonna hop out there on the perimeter like Giannis can. You know what I'm saying? And Giannis can hold his own on the post and the block like Admiral could. So he's a one of one.
Well, David Robinson had like 71 in the game, right? You know what I mean? Like, just an incredible player. Every time I think of D Rob, I think of how Elijah Wan cooked his ass and had him in the post game, just like the presser. I don't know what I could have done. You know what I mean? Like, he had this 7-foot, you know, stud athlete. Just confused because he had him hopping all around the court, G. You know what I mean? He had him on skates. But, I mean, yeah, D-Rob, great defender, obviously. But I just can't get that presser out after Elijah Wan cooked him for a million points. You know what I mean? Yeah. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that presser?
Yes.
Yeah. during Robinson's MVP season, as a matter of fact, Wan during 95
no
playoffs. Yeah.
Not a single fuck was given by Olajuwon. He was That dude. Yeah. We don't talk about him enough. Nobody talks about him enough. You can't talk about Olajuwon enough. True. But we definitely don't talk about him enough. He was something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you say Olajuwon's the greatest center ever, like, I won't argue with you. Like, bro, that's how high on special. Him on Dream I am. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Giannis' final stat line, 50 points on 17 of 21 shooting, 2 of 3 from 3, 14 rebounds, 4 assists.
Come on, man.
And
come
I think
on,
that's man. Why it's more dominant, because the rebounds will be insane. The assists will be insane. KD is generally just buckets. You feel what I'm saying? He'll get you some reads, but not like Elijah. I mean, not like Giannis, you know what I'm saying? Giannis will rebound like Olajuwon. You feel what I'm saying? Like, in a game where he went 17 for 21.
Kevin Durant is like he's a human poem. I mean, you know what I mean? It's just his game is pure. So beautiful. I mean, if you're just sitting around working, you could just put a half hour compilation up on the TV, and you'll end up watching the TV 40 seconds later or some shit. but Giannis is because of his build, and what's crazy is he was a skinny fucking kid. He was, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't get big. They talked about when he got to the Bucks, he couldn't bench the fucking bar.
Jesus Christ.
Literally. You know what I mean?
It happened one summer, like, he was slim, and then all of a sudden there's pictures of him, like, he has a head as a bicep now. You know what I mean? Like, his man weight came like that. You feel me?
I remember they had the same complaints about KD. He wasn't even able to do fucking... You know,
well,
one rep,
bitch, 135.
With a 45. Yeah, yeah. And he said it's
you
a good thing basketball is away.
And look
much.
How. Yep.
Yeah, and look at where we are.
Okay. We don't have a tenable untenable. We have a serious or unserious. Here's my question. The Celtics have won 9 in a row. It's the longest win streak in the NBA. Serious or unserious?
Half serious. They're not a championship team, but they're going to annoy the fuck out of someone in the playoffs. I think that's where we're at with them.
I have nothing else on that. I'm just
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville.
So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of 2, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I can't really be super confident in that team. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I wouldn't be surprised if they got on somebody's nerves and still got outed in the first round. You know, take it to 6, make somebody nervous. You know what I mean? Go home, guys.
Jackson,
go be with
Jackson,
your son,
Jackson,
Jason.
Any thoughts? Jackson, any thoughts on the Boston Celtics' seriousness? Talking about the fucking point differential. You're so sweet. That's so...
Good luck with that, Bubba.
They had like the biggest point differential in NBA history over like the last 3 road games or some shit like that, I think. Which is
Jesus.
Wow. Watch the Pistons beat them, because that's just how shit works.
Yeah. But right. That's very Celtics too. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh no, they cook. Them boys cook.
We're not talking about the Lakers. No, it's All-Star Week.
Cook.
We're having
I'm
fun.
I'm busy. They cook.
That
don't hurt me. That don't hurt me. You can't hurt me.
Look through your children's eyes to see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating world.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home, just waiting for the... And there they go, almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Me Missing football? Well, you can still turn every Thursday into payday with NBA on TNT on FanDuel Sportsbook. It doesn't matter if you win or lose, FanDuel is giving all customers $10 back every Thursday in site credit. Just bet a $10 or more same-game parlay on any NBA on TNT game. Same-game parlays let you combine the money line, point spread, player props, and more all into one wager. I love same-game parlay bets because there's so many NBA market options. I can root for my favorite players, and you have a chance to put a small bet down and win big. I cannot wait for this Bucks-Sixers game Thursday night on TNT. I'm not working that night. I have plans to sit down and watch the entire game and watch Giannis absolutely run through Joel Embiid's face. I cannot fucking wait. I'm taking the Bucks. I'm taking all of the Giannis's props, and I'm very excited for that game. Win or lose, you're guaranteed to get $10 added to your account. NBA on FanDuel Sportsbook is great. It's easy to use, easy to register, easy to deposit, easy to find your bet, and they've got odds boosts and specials every day with some big super boosts each weekend. Get $10 back every Thursday in site credit, win or lose, with TNT Thursdays. If you're new to FanDuel, just sign up with promo code JANJ to make every moment more this NBA season. That's promo code JANJ, that's J ampersand J, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Louisiana, and permitted parishes only, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. All right. I want to talk about this, something John and I were talking about in the group chat. Why is it that babies are the best judges of character? Like, when Vincent was a baby, I feel like if someone walked in the house, I could pick my infant son up and point him at that person. And just based off the face he was making, it was always accurate of like, what type of a person is this? You know what I mean? They could smell vibes. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but that is the ultimate test. If a baby fucks with you, you are a good person with a pure heart.
There's studies that say that there's never a time you're more instinctual than as a shorty. You know what I mean? I think babies see the world in a way that we shouldn't see the world. You know what I mean? Like the things that they could even peep. You know what I mean? There was like a corner that Somi would look at and she'd be super happy. And then there's a place that she would be when she was like, I do not like this place. And it could be just lighting, but it didn't feel like that. It felt kind of spooky. You feel what I'm saying? I think they still tapped into that other world that whatever world we come from or universe we come from, whatever the place in the universe we come from. I think that. But I think, like, bro, for me, if a baby cries when I pick her up, I know I need to check my energy. My energy's fucked up. That's how I feel. You know what I mean? And I love babies. I've always loved babies. You feel me? So, like, you know, like, but yeah, so I'm like, okay, I need to check my energy because usually that ain't the case. You know what I mean? So I think they just can feel the energy, you know, because like you said, I've seen babies like Emery, my agent had me hold Emery. She was hella cool with me, passed it to somebody else. And I know that dude, he kind of the homie, but also I know why she cried when he held her. You know what I'm saying? Because that ain't the one. You know what I mean? He a little scammy. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah, babies are the best vibe checkers on the planet. You know, I don't think it's even that crazy to think, or a conspiracy theory to think, that maybe they could like see auras and shit. You know what I'm saying? Because babies are helpless. You know what I mean? It's something that would have to be kind of, you know, embedded in them through evolution, so they know how to, you know, kind of protect themselves. Because the only thing a baby can do to protect themselves is cry. You know what I mean? So yeah. You know, I wish we knew more about what we go through as babies, because none of us really know shit. You can't talk to a baby. None of us remember being a baby. Like, that shit is a mystery.
Babies move as if they know something. Like, you know, I'm not outside of just crying when
they have a confidence. They have a confidence about them.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't really truly explain it, but I'm like, she know what she's saying. She know, you know, there's certain things I feel like she knows what she's doing, but like, it's coming from a place that I don't completely understand. You know what I mean?
Our doctor explained to us when we had Vincent that, like, they're like, think about how traumatic being born is for the babies. We talk about, obviously, a lot for what what mothers go through, rightfully so. But it's like when the baby is born, the baby has never experienced gravity, hunger, direct light, breathing. You know what I mean? It's like all of those things are experiences that a baby has existed with. That, you know what I mean? And they come into the world and it's like, oh, you're throwing a lot at me right now, bro.
Bro, when I bring Somi outside, I bring her outside, she's like, whoa, what is this? You feel what I'm saying? Like, she just gets quiet and just kind of peeps everything. Like, and then she'll also hug on me a little tighter. But as of late, she'll, you know, she's starting to, like, get more comfortable. So she's like, you know, putting her head up, looking around more. But, like, it was, like, almost like she'd be, you know, crying or a little cranky. You bring her outside and she'd be like, you know, it was like all the new, what, you know, things. Blew her mind, you know what I mean? The new stimuli.
What's gonna trip you out? Dude, that was the first time Vincent ever slept through the night was we took him to Disneyland when he was a baby. And he was so like, what the fuck is going on? That he fell asleep in the car on the way home and he slept for like 12 hours. We were like, we're going to Disneyland every night, bro. I'm sleeping in every
night. That's
day.
Why y'all in Disneyland now. You know, started yourself back in the day trying to get him to sleep through the night. But yeah, when she's around a lot of people too, like she likes a few people at a time. When it's a bunch of people, she's like, I don't know these niggas. And if I'm being honest, I like it. Because, Somi, you don't know these niggas. Move careful out here, you feel me? You know what I mean?
Your baby's at the age where she's talking and she knows what she's saying, but no one understands her because she's speaking baby language right now. But what's going to trip you out is when she gets old enough to speak, everyone has a story about their kid saying something that just scared the living fuck out of them. About like Maya had this where there was a corner she would look at in the roof, and when she was old enough to talk, we'd be like, what are you doing? And she'd be like, saying hi to the lady. You know what I mean?
Oh, hell no.
Everyone has a story like that about
I know how I feel about Maya though. I think she's special, G. You feel me?
You're gonna get one of the trust me, you're gonna get one of those from your daughter. Just like, I was just talking to you're like, what?
Dude, my little brother. He got lost in my mom's gig, you know what I mean? And my mom couldn't find him. She's like, you know, like she looked up, you know, it's an office, so it's like cubicles. It wasn't a big deal. But she's like, where'd this little boy go? She's looking around for him. Come back, and he's in the office. And she's like, where'd you go? He was like, I was just, you know, I was walking around, and I got lost. So how'd you get back? She was like, the man helped me. She was like, all right, then kind of like was just the window back to working like, that's kind of weird. Let's get out of here, because she was the only person there. She working late one day with my little brother. So she walking out, and there's this picture hanging in the front. And Aaron was like, that's the man. And the man had died years ago, but he had worked in that office building. And I'm like, that's whack as hell to be a ghost and come back to work. But for my mom, it was spooky as hell. So she was like, okay, let's go. And then she was, you know what I mean? Locking the place up and shook. But like, them weird things.
But I love that about kids is, you know, like he might have, like, first of all, something really might have happened. He might have looked at that poster and it might have put him in a place mentally where he's like, able to walk himself, something about
something.
The picture
kids
helped him to walk, you know what I mean?
But for us, we go straight to, you know what I'm saying? You know?
Yeah.
You know, scary movie or something, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. All right. Well, speaking of things that have died, Versus is charging. Versus is charging now? Is that what? Did I see that on Twitter.com?
Great segue, but golly, Bubba, that's a lot.
They were gonna charge for a Valentine's Day edition the day after Valentine's Day
on Tuesday
with fucking on the fucking Tuesday the day after Valentine's Day. Then the fucking internet ate their ass up and Swiss pulled back on that shit. He said, "I didn't even know this was gonna happen. I don't know who did this. I was out of the country.
You ain't got a phone.
You gonna
out
try
of
to blame
the country?
This
shit
on the
I was in Belize.
Right? Out of the country ain't excuse.
I was.
You got a cell phone?
I was." I was in Chile. No one hit. No one told me that they were gonna do this.
Full of shit.
I'm out of here, man. And they were doing it for what? Music Soul Child and Anthony Hamilton. Like, who going? We paying for that?
Yeah.
For that versus, bro. You know, you had Dipset. You know what I'm saying? And all them on. Bro, come on, G. We gonna pay for this one? Don't make no sense. But yeah, that's crazy as hell. Ain't no way, bro. Ain't no way. And I heard I liked music back in the day. I heard he got cooked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I ain't even watch it for free. So you that lets you know how bad of an idea that was. And I watch all them joints generally. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Charging for, I mean, the reason shit's popular on a Tuesday is because you're not charging.
And it's
for
online.
It.
You know, it's easy access to it. You feel me? Come on, man.
Some things could just exist to be fun and
bro,
not exist.
Product placement.
That would be a great thing if we could just like culturally acknowledge, just like come to that point.
There's
you know
so many
mean?
Ways for them to make money that don't involve them paying, us paying.
Yeah,
you
have
you know
the eyeballs.
The eyeballs are the value.
You
you're gonna lose the eyeballs. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You yeah, yeah that, I mean, the marketing dollars gotta be crazy when you got millions and millions and millions of people tapped in. You know what I mean? Like you got more people watching that than most television shows. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But also, if you're going to a paywall, you have to do it for the one that Snoop was in. Yeah, I mean, it has to be for the one that everyone's like.
But
oh
also,
my
you can lose. Like,
yeah,
like some people
Snoop
might be
DMX
like
Snoop, the Snoop yeah. DMX one. Like I would have paid.
You
for
that.
I probably would
have
paid
but
for
people
that.
People that have watched it consistently, and then you charge me for that one. Yo, fuck you. You gonna lose the people that you know.
Right.
You're gonna lose
yeah,
the loyalty
sure.
of some certain people. I think it's just the eyeballs are valuable. Make that. Don't get greedy. Make that money off of, you know what I'm saying? The mark, take the money from these companies, bro.
Yeah. Take that motherfucking Dorito chip.
And that bag is fat as hell.
Ad
you
money,
know what
I'm saying? That Ciroc ad money. Yeah. Motherfuckers get too greedy and fuck everything up.
How you are all product placement. Be littered with products in the back of that shit. You feel me? You know what I mean? Just make that money, G. I think that's a smarter play.
That's like the... That's the story of what's happened to American media, what Tyler just said, though. Like, when we worked at the Daily Newspaper, it was explained to us that because, like, almost all newspapers are owned by hedge funds at this point, right, in America. Well, a hedge fund does not want to make a 15% profit. A hedge fund wants to make see 15% growth every year. So, to me, if I own a newspaper in my hometown, it's making 15% money, fucking great. That's more than enough money to get. So, I mean, you're rich off that, right? You feeling great. They want to see it go up by 15% every year. So if it only goes up by 10% one year, all three of us would go, oh, wow, this is a fucking great year. They're going, we have to cut 5% of the staff to make up for that 5%
that
we didn't get on the growth.
Sense, though. And also, you want
correct, but that's how we've. Been, but that's it. But that's that is this. That's what's happening.
Do you know
in our
how big of
like
a chunk 15% is? 15 is not a high number, but in percentage of
right.
like business, that is a high number
every year
for companies for something that's
every
been
year.
Around for so long and for something that's dying. You know what I'm saying? That's a crazy expectation.
Great times. That's great times. That's great times. I think you could write the history of the last 20 years in America by saying it's been like a 80% reduction in journalists and like 150% increase in public relations employees. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. that's it right there to me, bro. But
soulless
anyway,
industry.
Yeah, it's
soulless industry. It's lost all its soul.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Great note to end the show.
That's what we're going to end on?
We're all too tired, bro.
See y'all next.
Have a great All-Star weekend.
We ain't listening.
Nothing matters, guys. I'm trying to tell you.
The world is proving them right.
All right, man. Enjoy All-Star weekend. We'll catch you guys next week. Bye.
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 What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.